Welcome back to another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshall, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Next week, though, I'll be coming to you live from the 2015 NFL Scouting Combine. Vikings Entertainment Network will be providing you coverage from Indianapolis as the NFL world descends on Lucas Oil Stadium to take a good look at this year's upcoming draft class. And one of the people who will also be doing that is our guest today on the Wobcast. It is NFL Network's Charles Davis, a good friend here of the Wobcast, one who's joined us many times before, and he joins us again today. Hello, Charles.
Hello, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited for Indy, as we were talking about earlier. I did not get to go to Mobile this year, but I am coming to Indianapolis this year, and I'm very excited about it because it's really kind of the start of the pre-draft hype for me. I know you're already into it very well, but it's starting for me, and I'm excited. I bet you are, too.
Yeah, well, you know, let's go ahead and do this thing, right? The quicker we get to Indy, which means everything really accelerates from there, you know, the quicker we get to the actual draft itself, which
That's
is,
right.
you know, what everyone wants to see. So
That's right.
let's go ahead and do this thing.
Okay. You can follow Charles Davis on Twitter, at CFD22. Listen to what he has to say to us now. Follow up with him on Twitter because he's great at getting back to you. And remember, NFL Network, which that's where Charles works, provides live coverage of the Scouting Combine. Friday, February 20th. To Monday, February 23rd. You can hear Charles and Mike Mayock and Rich Eisen and that whole cast of characters talk about it. All right, Charles.
Yes,
coming sir. Coming from the Senior Bowl, now going to the Combine, what do you think is the strength of this year's draft class?
Oh, boy. Strength of it? I think that, you know, we've got a few more pass rushers this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some guys at the top that are going to really attract attention. I think that's big. I think we've got a ton of runners this year. And I think that may propel the run game or a focus on it a little bit higher than what we've seen in the past. You know, Mike, I mean, let's face it, you guys in Minnesota kind of had cornered the market on being a power running team.
Mm-hmm.
And then last year, obviously, with the troubles that Adrian Peterson ran into, you had to redefine yourselves a little bit. But at the same time, if anyone can find an Adrian Peterson, they're going to go in that direction. I mean, you'd be stupid not to. That's what you call a tried and true way of playing the game of football that wins. Well, there aren't many of him out there, but we're probably as close to having a group of runners that you would lean on this year than we've been in how many years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a plethora of them, and really it's kind of ironic, a good number of them out of the Big Ten. Which
right.
kind of is one of those that echoes the past about the Big Ten, even though they're not playing nearly the power football that we would see as we always had in the past with that conference.
Yeah, and you know what, Charles? One of them is David Cobb, who
yes.
I'm going to get provincial on you here, University of
yeah.
Minnesota Golden Gopher, a guy a lot of people listening to us right now probably watched, you know, playing for the Gophers.
Do yeah. you,
so we have Jerick McKinnon, right? A rookie last year. You remember him? He
yep,
tore
Georgia
up the combine.
Yep.
Yeah, very very impressive combine, and had an impressive rookie season for us. So you know the question about Adrian, notwithstanding, we don't know if he's going to be back or
sure.
not. But think about Jerick McKinnon, and then tell me about Cobb, David Cobb. Do you think those two guys are complementary pieces? Or is that a guy that the Vikings could take into their stable and find some production with?
Oh, I think definitely, and I like the way you proposed it. Complementary pieces to each other. Because I think McKinnon, you can do a little bit of everything with.
Mm-hmm.
A guy you can swing out of the backfield and throw the ball to. And you know as well as I do, Mike, that these running back coaches, when they sign off on guys now, unless they are the most dominant runner you've ever seen, if they can't catch the ball, they don't want them anymore.
That's right.
I mean, it's that simple. Well, McKinnon, we know, can do that. You know, with his varied background as a quarterback, as a runner, as a slot guy, you know, he's got those skills, got that skill set. Cobb is much more of your traditional, hand me the ball, I'm going to make progress. And I'll be frank with you, Mike, I had seen him and didn't come away just, you know, overly enthused about him. I thought that his production was good. Obviously, you see that you saw the numbers. But I thought part of that was a volume thing. You know, over the course of a game, he carries the ball. This is what they do, you know, because the quarterback was about 50% thrower. And then I got to see him in person at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah.
And I had to revise what I felt about him. I thought that he was not just a tough, hard-nosed runner. I thought he had good vision. I thought he had excellent balance. I feel like he can catch the ball out of the backfield. They didn't do a ton of that with him at Minnesota, but he's able to do that. But I think that he's a guy that, as you watched him over the week in Mobile, he opened a lot of eyes, because I think going into it, it was much more of a, hey, okay, yeah, David Cobb, yeah, nice kind of guy. Yeah. And then by the end of the week, I think people had had upgraded their opinions, and I will be one of the first to say that I am in that camp. I really like David Cobb. I think in the middle rounds, he will be a commodity for people.
Yeah, it's good news to hear about a guy that a lot of people listening certainly like, because he was a Golden Gopher. Another Golden Gopher, tight end Max Williams, also in this draft, and I know a lot of people think highly of him. And it's weird, Charles, to talk about running back like this, because as you mentioned earlier, we just have not had to worry about that position with Adrian. Hopefully we don't have to worry about it again this year. Adrian's
right
back with us. And if that's the case, then I think you shift to a different offensive position for the Vikings in this draft, and that's wide receiver. Certainly a position not short on talent at the top end of the position grouping.
I would agree with you totally on that. When we talk about the top-end guys that we're going to be debating and breaking down prior to getting to Chicago and the commissioner going to the podium, Amari Cooper, Alabama, Kevin White, West Virginia, Devontae Parker, Louisville. I think those are the first three that roll off the tongue when mm-hmm. you think about receivers. But as you know, the way people are pitching it around nowadays, it's going to be much deeper than that. I mean,
yeah,
we're going to have a bunch of guys we're going to talk about going in. And while we were in Mobile, we saw a bunch of guys. You know, we saw Devin Smith at Ohio State,
sure,
I think, opened up a lot of eyes, because people were wondering, is he just the type of guy that only goes deep? Or is he the type of guy who can get up and go a little bit? And the answer is, catch the ball underneath and then turn it into something. The answer is yes,
mm-hmm,
affirmatively. And I thought he did a very nice job Senior Bowl week of showing that he could run those routes underneath and turn it into something. You know, if you want slot guys, a Jamison Crowder out of Duke opened up some eyes that week. Antoine Goodley is your total antithesis in how you look at a receiver, because when you see him, he looks like a sawed-off running back.
Okay.
His strength allows him to make plays that you wouldn't normally expect. I mean, he's listed at 5'11", 220. I'm not sure he's 5'11", but he's every bit of 220.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike, and he runs through a lot of stuff. Tony Lippett from Michigan State, I spent the whole week talking about how I liked his potential at the corner position, because I feel like you can find Tony Lippett anywhere at receiver, but you and I both know 6'3", 190, 6'3", 200 pounds, you don't see that at corners anymore.
Sure.
You know, and that's what people are looking for, those long limb guys. Well, Lippett has experience at both. And I had all the Michigan State people finally call me and tell me to shut up. The kid likes playing receiver. That's where he's comfortable. And by the way, he can play receiver. So
right,
you be quiet. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No problem.
The more you can do,
right?
The
message. Yeah, the more you can do.
Yeah.
But I got the message. A Ty Montgomery from Stanford, who also brings in the kick return ability. So we saw a good number of guys, and I won't bore you, you know, with all of that. But I'm just talking about guys we saw at the Senior Bowl that can play. But Devin Smith is the one I always keep coming back to. I got to see him in the Big Ten championship game, and I really haven't backed off since that time of really liking him. I think one other guy better throw in there, Sammy Coates from Auburn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was
another
impressive.
Another long receiver, 6'2", 200-plus pounds, who had a very nice week at the Senior Bowl.
You think for a team like the Vikings to invest in a receiver at number 11, which is where the Vikings are, you think that guy's got to be a guy with some size, or do you think you can, that a lot of times that is overemphasized?
No, I don't think you can overemphasize a size receiver nowadays. I think, Mike, that what we're seeing is the litmus test really for the league was when Tavon Austin was taken by St. Louis.
Okay.
Because you remember when that pick was made, you remember what St. Louis did to do that. They moved up. I think when they move up, 16 to 8?
Yes, that's right.
And took Tavon Austin. Well, if you're going from 16 to 8, you know what you're saying. You're saying we're getting a guy that we're going to unleash and we're going to turn loose and we're going to make sure that he gives us, you know, a big play. Well, the truth of the matter is, since that pick has been made, production's been somewhat spotty. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So when you're talking about a smaller receiver going that high in the draft, that was something the league just really didn't do. That was a litmus test. I don't think people are planning on going there again, not that high, because if Tavon Austin hasn't turned into, you know, that guy at that size so far, I'm not sure anyone in this draft is going to change anyone's mind, because I don't think anyone in this draft will be ranked as explosive as Austin was coming out of West Virginia at his size.
Okay, interesting. You know, another thing too with these guys, Charles, at every position really, but, you know, honing specifically in here at wide receiver, is system fit too. You know, one guy can go to a team and it didn't work out very well, but if that same guy would have gone to a different team, it might have worked out great. When you think of Teddy, and I know that you were high on him last year, he was, you know, you were wrestling between the first quarterback or the second on your list, so you liked him.
You liked him.
When you think of Teddy, and then when you think of Norv, our offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, what type of receiver do you think is the best fit? Not necessarily a name. I'm looking for a profile.
Well, I'm thinking a receiver. I think Norv likes those bigger guys.
Yeah.
Remember the issue about Teddy coming out was, oh God, Norv has never really played with a guy like that. You know, Teddy's size.
Yeah.
Because Teddy's not that big strapping lad that Norv's had before.
Yeah.
And I think Norv, tell me if I'm wrong, Norv was kind of like, I don't remember ever saying I had a type.
Yes, that's right.
You know?
You're right.
All you knuckleheads in the media say I have a type because that's who I had when I was coaching. So you play with those guys. Doesn't mean that I don't want to play with someone, and doesn't mean if he can play, I'm not going to adapt and move on.
That's right.
But at the same time, with a guy like Teddy, you probably want people who are a little bit bigger, who can uncover downfield to in those tight windows when Teddy's got to make those tough throws.
Sure.
Because now those are the guys that help you out. Doesn't matter what size your quarterback is. They help you out by making plays. Look, Dez Bryant, you and I both know that catch he made against Green Bay, even though by letter of the law it wasn't a catch.
Yeah.
If we're sitting in a bar with 100 other knuckleheads watching the game.
That's a touchdown.
It's a catch, right?
Yep.
No ifs, ands, or buts. Everyone's like, he caught the ball.
Yep.
So, but how did he go up? He went up and took that one because the coverage wasn't bad at all. I believe it was Sam Shields.
Mm-hmm.
And the coverage was not bad. Sam was right there in position. But those big body guys, those athletic guys downfield that, hey, you're covered, but guess what? He's really not covered if you put the ball up there. I think that's what we're all looking for.
Interesting, yep. One more offensive question, then I'm going to shift to defense quickly before we let you go. From a theory or a philosophical standpoint, how are you on the idea of, hey, we really like this offensive tackle, but we have two starters coming back at offensive tackle that we think can play for a few more years, so we're going to draft this tackle, move him to guard, and then eventually have him succeed one of our tackles. Do you like that idea?
Yeah, I'm all for it because I think when you're drafting a player of that magnitude and of that talent, usually he can adapt.
Okay.
And he's just going to make you better all the way through. Remember Rams last year when they took Greg Robinson out of Auburn, where did they play him initially?
Right.
Played him inside at guard.
Yep, they played him at guard.
Or they moved him back out.
Yep.
We've seen it so many different times where guys have come in like that. I think Jonathan Ogden, who's one of the all-time greatest, played guard his rookie year with the Baltimore Ravens. So I have no problem with that because, to me, you're just making your team better.
Yeah, we're sitting here talking about running backs and receivers. That could be a way the Vikings go.
Could easily be a way because you're talking about Khalil, who caught a lot of grief last year. I think that many of us have not taken into account maybe some injury issues that he didn't complain about, so I give him a lot of credit for that. Lowell Holt on the right side, who guys that you can envision still being able to play.
Mm-hmm.
But you move inside and add another big body because it helps with a John Sullivan at center.
Yep,
he's
that's
a terrific
right.
player. But you got to help cover up some of the littler guys. And when I say little, you know, guys who are trying to get to 300 pounds.
Right, relatively speaking,
try and cover that up a little because where are people trying to put their pass rushers now?
Yep.
Inside.
That's right.
You know, they want to win inside over the guards.
Look at Aaron Donald.
Exactly, and what a year he had. But you're also trying to handle any type of power by answering with power and overpowering people there. So, yeah, I would love to see some of these talent, like a Brandon Scherff, can he move in from Iowa? Can he move inside and play guard initially? That's one of the thoughts that I have, because if so, boy, it just makes your line so much better.
Sure. All right, we're going to switch to defense, and I'm going to blitz you here. We're going to go quickly.
Okay.
If you're the Vikings, defensive end does not scream at you as a need. But if you were the Vikings GM and you're sitting there at 11 and the number one or number two 4-3 defensive end is still on the board, do you consider it?
You have to consider it because you're chasing down Matthew Stafford in Detroit. You're chasing down Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. You definitely have to get – pass rushers just don't come along. It's like evaluating a quarterback in a lot of ways.
Yep.
If you get a chance to get a pass rusher, I think you take him and work out everything else.
All right. Linebacker, we'll go to level two of the defense, linebacker. I think you look at middle linebackers that have come into the NFL of late. You look at Patrick Willis. He happened to be the number 11 overall pick, which is what the Vikings have this year. Luke Kuechly, I believe he was ninth overall. It's probably the two best that I can think of. Is there a player in that class in this year's crop of players?
Tough to say if they're in that class, but I'm going to throw a few names at you.
Okay.
Denzel Perryman, Miami. Mm-hmm. You actually heard him, Mike, before you saw him in Mobile, meaning you heard the collision.
Yeah.
And you went, whoa, what was that? That was Perryman.
Okay.
So he's a guy who can move and hit. Benardrick McKinney, another big linebacker who can run from Mississippi State.
Yep.
Another guy that we got to keep an eye on. I have a particular favorite that I think may be a second-round guy, and that's Stephon Anthony from Clemson, who had a monster week and was voted the best linebacker of the week by the scouts. Perryman didn't get to practice every day. He had some dings, so he was out of that mix. But Anthony, ranges wide, hits you, the whole deal. Those are the type of guys I'm looking for because the guys you noted, they're ball hawks.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to have there nowadays.
Yep, that's right. Okay, last question. We'll go to the back end of the defense, an area of the field that I know you have an affinity for. We have Harrison Smith, who we believe is an all-world safety in the back end of our defense, and we love what we have in Xavier Rhodes at corner. But both guys could use a complimentary piece back there with them. When you look at this class, who are some guys, and I won't even say that the Vikings could draft or that you would endorse drafting. Let's just talk about at the combine. Give me a safety or a corner at the combine who you're thinking, we got to keep an eye on this guy and see what he's got.
Well, we're going to keep an eye, obviously, on Landon Collins to see how he runs from Alabama, because a lot of people have him ranked high, but a lot of people have some questions about can he run. Because if you can't run and cover at safety now, as you well know, you're no good to anyone.
Okay.
All right? So that's a big deal right there. There's a kid out of UCF, University of Central Florida, named Clayton Gathers, that has a great bloodline. Remember Jumpy Gathers?
Yes, oh yeah.
Big defensive lineman. He's a nephew, I believe, of Jumpy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This kid's got a great bloodline, can run and hit. I was impressed with him this past week. Kevin White is a small corner at TCU, but a feisty one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these smaller corners showed up. We didn't get a bunch of big corners this year at the Senior Bowl. We had some little guys out there. Him, the guy called Mighty Mouse from Oregon State, Steven Nelson, another small corner who played really well. But if you're looking for bigger guys, that's what we're trying to find. That's why I was endorsing Lippitt from Michigan State.
Sure.
Like, dude, go over there. You can blow people away being that bigger corner back there. But I'm trying to find some safeties that can make some plays. And there's a kid out of LSU, Ronald Martin Jr., who I think is a guy that maybe people aren't talking about big time now, but I think can ultimately play at the safety position. Eric Rowe, University of Utah, has versatility. A safety for 3 years, swung to corner his senior year, 6'1", 201 pounds is what he was listed down at the Senior Bowl, has that length, and I think that he's a guy we better keep an eye on.
All right, that's fun, man. Well, thanks for joining us, Charles. I got to tell you, one thing that we love to do, we're at the Combine every day, obviously, in the media center there, but it's fun to go home after the Combine is over, watch the rerun on NFL Network. You guys do a great job covering the Combine.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. You know, we're all in it together because you guys are cranking it out and working hard, too. So, you know, we're all trying to take from each other and learn a few things as we go. So I appreciate what you guys do, Mike.
NFL analyst Charles Davis. You can follow him on Twitter at CFD22. And remember, NFL Network will provide live coverage of the 2015 NFL Scouting Combine workouts Friday, February 20th to Monday, February 23rd, starting each day at 8 a.m. And, of course, you can log on to Vikings.com for coverage of the Combine as well. Thanks again, Charles. Appreciate it, and we'll see you in Indy.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay.
See you there.
Bye-bye.